Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You want to get your Bibles now and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. And what we are doing is bringing to a close a study we've been having for a number of weeks about the history that is in the Old Testament. And we're going to see, as we continue in our studies, how well this prepares us for the New Testament. There's an old saying sometimes that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. There are lessons that we learn from the Old Testament principles, and one of the principles we learn from Nehemiah is that we need to do as it is written. Now that's what they're doing here in this chapter, in Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to read verses 13 through 15 here in just a moment. And I want you to pay attention to those words, as it is written. Now while you're turning to Nehemiah chapter 8, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we have done is taken an old Sunday school book that was written by a preacher, the name of E.A. Elam, and looked at his Sunday school lessons. And this is the conclusion of a Sunday school lesson that he wrote for June 22nd, 1924. And he is emphasizing for us the importance of following the commandments of the Lord as they are written. Now let me read to you Nehemiah chapter 8, 13 through 15. And on the second day were gathered together the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to give attention to the words of the law. And they found written in the law how that Jehovah had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and branches of wild olive, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. Here's from Elam's notes. He quotes from that passage. And they found written in the law that God had commanded the children of Israel to keep the feast of the tabernacles in the seventh month, and how it should be kept. They found all this written in the law, which shows that they did not know God had commanded it, especially those who had been born in the captivity, since they were ignorant of the word of God. The only way to restore the worship of God was to study His Word and do what was written therein as fast as they learned it. It is most worthy of note that everyone in any age who ever reformed those who had wandered from God's way did so by studying God's Word and persuading the people to do as it is written therein. Hezekiah did all in his power to persuade all Israel to worship God as it is written. He sent out teachers for this purpose, and he wrought a great reform. Later on, Hezekiah's great-grandson, Josiah, wrought another great reformation by persuading the people to study the Word of God and worship Him as it is written. Ezra and Nehemiah restored the worship of God after the long captivity by reading the Word of God to the people and inducing them to do as it is written. The only way to worship God acceptably today is to turn away from all the doctrines and commandments of men and worship Him as it is written in the New Testament. We cannot go beyond the things which are written in the New Testament and remain pleasing and acceptable unto God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. Every faithful and true disciple of Christ is afraid of everything in the worship God, in the worship of God that is not found written in the New Testament. All should study the Word of God now and do what it requires of them as fast as they learn it. So, when the people had learned that God required them to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and how to keep it, they proceeded at once to prepare to obey God. Since this feast began on the 15th day of the month, they had several days in which to prepare it. And it says that their gladness in this feast was kept, and that day by day during the feast, from the first day until the last day, Ezra read the book of the law of God unto the people. Let me return to Ezra chapter 8 and read, beginning in verse 16, to the end of the chapter. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the broad place of the water gate and in the broad place of the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and dwelt in the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day into the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was a solemn assembly, according to the ordinance. Now that concludes the Sunday school lesson itself. But there's a little rhyme given here, a little poem that was written, again, by Lucy Larcom, and it reads this way. Hand in hand with angels, blessed so to be, helped are all the helpers, giving light they see. He who aids another strengthens more than one. Shrinking earth he grapples to the great white throne. I turn the page, and what we have here is a review lesson that goes from Rehoboam to Nehemiah. You'll remember Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and it was because of Rehoboam's foolishness that the kingdom split and divided in two. And Nehemiah is the very last of the story of the children of Israel in their history. And from this we go into a period where there was no prophet between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The golden text of this lesson is Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The devotional reading is Micah 4, verses 1 through 5. And here we read the words of Micah. But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jehovah, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples, and will decide concerning strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn more any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine tree and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Jehovah of hosts hath spoken it. As the Golden Text declares, God exalted the children of Israel from the deepest servitude and basest slavery in Egypt to the wilderness and the widespread prosperity and glory of Solomon's reign over all the country, from the Euphrates to the river of Egypt. It will greatly help us to study Moses' farewell address to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, and especially at this time, chapters 27 through 30. In these chapters, God rehearses the blessings and curses and said that he had set before them life and death, the blessing and the curse, life and good, death and evil, and that if they would love him and walk in all his ways, they should prosper at all times and in all ways should be exalted on high above all the nations of the earth. Obeying and relying upon Jehovah, the children of Israel reached this exalted position. It was made the head and not the tail of the nations of the earth. On the other hand, sin is a reproach to any people. Because of the sins enumerated in the chapters designated, the children of Israel began first to decline and then go further and further into idolatry and all accompanying sins, to sink deeper and deeper into wickedness and stubbornness until utter destruction overtook them, and they became a reproach and the tail and not the head of the nations of the earth. Since these things happened unto them by way of example, and have been written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the earth are come, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, the church everywhere should walk in the good and right of the Lord, worthy of the calling wherewith all have been called. And we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Worldliness, wickedness, and all disobedience to God is a reproach to the church. Righteousness will exalt an individual in the respect, competence, and worthy esteem of his fellow man and in the favor of God. Sin, on the contrary, will lower him in all respects. Now there's a little poem at the end of this review. This is by Tennyson, and you've probably heard this one before. Sunset and evening star, and one clear call to me, and may there be no moaning at the bar when I put out to sea. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark, and may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out our bourne of time and space the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar. I turn the page in our little Sunday school book, and we'll soon begin a study of the life of Jesus, which will be a harmony of the Gospels, and we'll start with the open period of Christ's ministry. We'll start with the birth of Christ. It's going to be a wonderful set of lessons that are to come. It's the most amazing person that ever walked on this earth. Make sure you come back to this school.